right? In the second week of our series, I Shall Not Want, which is all about the 23rd Psalm. So you guys ready to read that together? You got your glasses out? No, let's read it like this. We're going to be reading today from the New Living Translation. Last week you guys did the King James, right? So we're going to be looking at this psalm many different times in many different ways. This is from the New Living Translation, but let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now this morning we're going to take things out of order just a little bit. Carrie and I needed to switch some preaching days around, but we'd already kind of worked on the sermon, so rather than making things overly complicated, we just decided to flip-flop some days. So rather than going with verses 2 and 3 today, we're going to skip ahead and do verse 4. I apologize in advance if that triggers you. I know some people need to be like in order, so I put it out there. And if it helps, I am going to start really quickly. I just want to draw our attention to verses 2 and 3. And really what I want to point out, and that's 4, 2 and 3. What I want to point out here is I just want us to notice in these two verses how the psalm begins like a total brag session on God. Because the language being used here is not the second person, right? He's not talking to God. He's talking about God. It's not, you are my shepherd, you let me rest, you do all these amazing things for me. It's, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He lets me rest. He gives me everything I need. He leads me. He renews my strength. He guides me. That's how the psalm starts out. It's like, I've got the most amazing shepherd, and I want to tell you all about him because he takes such good care of me. But then, as we see in verse 4, the psalm makes a shift. We're no longer talking about God. We're no longer bragging on him. We're talking to him. And what I want you to notice is that all the pronouns, they start changing in this verse. Before, you know, it was he and his, and now it's you and your. Right? It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So to me, it's like the more that David talks about or that he brags on the shepherd, he can't help but turn his eyes and start focusing towards God, and this conversation kind of changes here. And so I think that it's true that the more we recognize, the more we brag on and celebrate what God has done for us, the more we turn our eyes to him in prayer. Right? It's a natural response of gratitude for all the amazing things that God has done to us. Now, a little bit about my own walk. Prayer is one of those areas that has not always come easy for me. I know there are a lot of people out there in the Christian walk that they are just like natural prayer warriors. They have such genuine hearts for prayer. I know people that are woken up in the middle of the night with a severe prayer burden, and they just get up and they start praying, and it energizes them. They never forget a prayer request. And I wish that were me, but it's not. Right? I mean, I do pray every single day, but I admit there are different times in my life that prayer has been a real struggle. And sometimes I even have to make sure that I'm not sitting in a very comfortable place, because if I sit down to pray for very long, I could fall asleep. I don't know if you can relate to that. But what this psalm has taught me and what I found to be true over the years is that if I live a life that's bragging about God, right? If I make a lifestyle out of gratitude and praise and telling other people how wonderful my God is and all the things that he's done for me, then it's a natural response for me to turn to him in prayer, kind of like David does here. You know, at other times in my life, I can still be living obediently, doing the best that I can to follow his word. But if I'm not bragging on what God has done or is doing in my life, then prayer can seem like a chore. Or it seems like something I know that I should be doing and I know that I need to find more time for. It doesn't come naturally for me when I'm not bragging on him in my everyday life. So that is a little life hack for us. If you struggle with prayer, if prayer doesn't come naturally for you, start bragging on God to the people around you. Start talking about how good he is to you, and then prayer will come as a natural response to that. It's like we're reminding ourselves of what he's done and kind of keeps our focus on him rather than keeping our focus on ourselves or on other people or on our problems. So let's look at how naturally this comes for David. He says, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me." You know, we've gone from kind of that, woohoo, look how awesome my God is, to really a prayer that's so intimate. I kind of feel like I'm eavesdropping on a conversation I shouldn't be a part of. Thankfully, though, I am glad it's here, because I think we all find ourselves struggling in places of fear. And the truth is, I mean, for myself, and I know probably for you too, we all long to have that confidence that David has when he says, and mean it when we say, "I will not be afraid, for I know you're with me." Right? We want to be as confident as he is. So let's talk a little bit about fear this morning, because we all have different things in our lives that make us fearful, right? For some of us, it could be that we're going through difficult circumstances with our children or our family or our friends. You could be going through difficult circumstances with your marriage. Could be hardships at your job or school. Or maybe you're struggling to find a home or to keep a home, or could be difficulty with finances. Maybe you're struggling with illness or the illness of someone that you love. Could be, as the psalm suggests, you're facing your own death, because we all have from time to time some type of circumstances in our lives that we can't see our way through, and that scares us. We don't like to know, or we don't like to not know what's going to happen, right? We don't like the unknown, and we can become easily fearful of those situations. I think that's true of most of us, because when we don't know how a situation is going to turn out, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's when my imagination kicks in, right? And I start to think of all the things that could go wrong. And when that happens, it's easy to overwhelm yourself, right? Or if sometimes our imagination teams up with our memory, and then we start imagining things in our past that could start happening all over again, and that really overwhelms us. David, the author of this psalm, he lived a life that would have overwhelmed all of us, right? Because this guy had difficult circumstances. We think about children and families. His son Absalom turned against him. He killed his half-brother because he raped his sister. He had sex with his father's concubines in front of everybody on the palace roof. Then he tried to kill his dad, right? Talk about difficult family situations. Marriage, he struggled with lust and adultery. Difficulty at his job, right? His boss tried to kill him on multiple occasions. You think your boss is bad, right? This guy's boss tried to kill him multiple times. Struggling to keep or find a home, or difficulty with finances. He lived a large part of his life on the run and hiding in caves. He was basically homeless at times. Illness of a loved one, right? He experienced the sickness and eventual loss of his newborn child with Bathsheba. He was beside himself when the troops killed his son Absalom. And death. He faced his son's death. He faced the possibility of his own death time and time again from Goliath, from Saul, from Absalom, from many others. And each one of those situations is enough to strike fear in the heart of any of us. So what gave David the confidence with a life full of all of those things, right? So many fearful situations. What gave him the ability to say, "I will not be afraid"? I mean, to me, I would like to suggest that it comes from living a life full of all those circumstances. Because God showed David time and time and time again how he was with him and how he brought him through it, right? He gave him victory over it. He believed it because he lived it. He had already been through situations that he couldn't see himself through. And he trusted, right? Even though I don't know how this is going to turn out, God does. And not only does God know, God's in control of it. You know, you guys hear our testimony over and over and over again. You've heard my testimony of Eli and Sam when they were very, very premature. This is one of my favorite pictures of the two of them together. they were born at 27 weeks instead of 40. So they were very, very sick, right? And you guys have heard me say that the doctors expected them to die, and the doctors prepared us for their death several, several times. But God miraculously healed them. And even had the doctors saying, we don't really know what happened, but they're healed. They're perfectly fine now. I can't tell you the impact that I've had on our lives to live through that and see what God can do right? Even a situation that everybody thought was impossible. And I say all the time, I feel guilty calling this thing faith because God has shown himself to be so real to me that I feel like I've been given tangible proof of his care and his provision and his power. Right? To me, this is how I think David is able to give a psalm and with such confidence. But let me put it another way. There's another time in my life when I was really, really fearful. Slightly less traumatic. It was Super Bowl 44, the Saints versus the Colts. Yeah, after the first drive of this Super Bowl, Saints did not score. Colts came back, Laura, with a field goal, 0-3. Big Colts fan back there. Next drive, the Saints did not score again. The Colts came back with the longest drive in Super Bowl history, at that point at least, 96 yards. It lasted only 11 plays. Score was 10-0. I got to tell you, at this point, I was really, really fearful. I was fearful the Saints were going to start looking like the Buffalo Bills did in Super Bowl 25, 26, 27, and 28. More fear, that's right. But thankfully, through some brilliant coaching, they came back to win the game. They had three field goals, an onside kick, a recovered possession, a touchdown with a two-point conversion, an interception with a touchdown, and in the end, in the fourth quarter, the Saints won 31-17. Most stressful game I had ever watched in my life. So what in the world is the relevance behind that, and how does it apply to our psalm today? Well, because I love the Saints, I got to watch the game again. I got to see a replay. But this time I wasn't nearly as fearful. Why? Because I already knew what was going to happen, right? I knew how it was going to turn out. I had already seen it. I knew the score. I knew how things were going to go. The more we experience something, the more we learn to trust God with those experiences, right? And in some ways, you know, when we read God's word, the stories of faith are like sports updates, right? You don't even have to have been there to see the game. Just knowing the score is enough to put your heart at rest, right? If I had watched the replay of the Super Bowl, not having watched it the first time, right, but maybe I just heard the score from somebody else, again, my fear wouldn't be there because I'd still know how it turns out. Right? So in this life that we're living right now, let me just give you the score of this life. It is God 999 gazillion and the world or Satan or the enemy and everyone else zero. See, we don't have to know all the plays in the game. You don't have to know how close the calls are. You don't have to know who scored first, how fair the referees were, if there was any trash talking, or what the commentators say. All we need to know is that God is in control, right? And that's why we can trust our loving and good shepherd every time our imagination kicks in. Or we start thinking to ourselves, what about this or what about that? I don't know the score. I don't know what's going to happen. We do know the score. Right, we do know how this is going to turn out because we know whose team we're on. And because of whose team we're on, our victory is guaranteed. We have such a hard time not knowing all those details, though. Right? Some of us, we want to know things like, how long is this going to take? What's going to happen along the way? What if it's not safe? What if there's pain? What if? And if it's in the, and it's in those moments of what if that I would encourage us all to just be like sheep and trust the shepherd. Just follow God. He's going to get you through this. Now, in this psalm, in this verse that we're looking at today, David refers to the darkest valley, right? Or the King James Version calls it the valley of the shadow of death. From a shepherding perspective, this most likely refers to those deep ravines that they brought their flocks through, kind of as they traveled through the mountains in the late spring and the early summer times. The ravines had sharp, sharp cliffs, and they were often full of a lot of dangers, either the dangers that they might fall off the cliffs, or sometimes there are wild animals hiding in the shadows when you go around the cliff. And at first you might think to yourself, well, if it's so dangerous, then why in the world would the shepherd ever bring the flock through the valley? Again, it comes down to trusting the shepherd, right? Because the shepherd knows some things that the sheep don't. The shepherd knows that the valley is where the best water is. See, when the snow melts off the mountains, it pools in the valley. And because the ground is so well watered, there's always plenty of lush green grass to eat along the way. Right? The valley is so fertile, it supports tremendous growth in the sheep. Just like with us. Right? The valleys in our lives are usually the times that bring us the most growth. They're not always easy, but they're always lush with God's grace and mercy. And often we find ourselves in a closest relationship with him during those times. And you've probably heard the saying, you don't know God's all you need until God's all you got, mm-hmm. right? It's true. And valleys in life are often thought of as spiritual growth spurts. It's not just learning, it's like accelerated learning. It's like you're taking a college AP class in spiritual growth, cramming years worth of spiritual truths into one situation. I never grew so much as I did in those 3 months that Eli and Sam were in the hospital. And while I would never like want to put them back in that situation, I'd gladly go through it all over again because God made himself so real to me. Something else shepherds know is that it's simply the shadow of death. But the shadow of a thing is not the thing itself, right? In other words, the shadow of a snake cannot bite you. Right? The shadow of a sword cannot stab you. There's nothing substantial to it. Romans 8:31-32 says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? See, if God is leading us through this valley, as scripture tells us that he is, right, and we know the truth of Romans 8, then we know that ultimately this valley is for our good. It might look like death, but it's just the shadow of death. Right? We might not see it, we might not like it, but we can always trust it. Shepherds also know where we're going, right? He ultimately knows where he's leading us. It says he leads us through the valley. It means it's not our destination, right? He's not going to lead us there. He's going to leave us there. He's going to lead us through it. So no matter how bad it seems, it's not the end, right? It's not the end. There's light at the end of this proverbial tunnel. For a child of God, even death is not an end, but merely a doorway to a higher and more glorious life with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Death is a dark valley, but it opens into eternal life. Where scripture tells us there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. Yeah. These valleys are not dead ends. They lead somewhere. Right, so God has another destination for us. Ultimately, it's to eternal life for all of us, right? I mean, unless Jesus comes back soon, none of us are getting out of this life alive. We've all got to go through the doorway of death. But the key is that we're going to go through it into eternal life with Christ. So as we travel through these times, it's comforting to know that our shepherd is with us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right? God didn't just say, okay, you take this road and I'm going to meet you on the other side. He is literally with us in the peaks and the valleys. Right? He's with us in the middle of our struggling family and marriage. He's with us as we look for work or struggle with money. He's with us while we're having problems in school. He's with us as we deal with illness or battle death. He is always with us, right? Matthew 28:20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes. Hebrews 13:5, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Never. Problem is, of course, that we are sheep. Right, and we don't always look up that much. All that we look at is kind of the grass that's underneath our head, and we maybe look at the neighbor in front of us. That's why sheep get lost so easily. And that's why if one falls into a hole, the other one just kind of follows after it, and he gets stuck in the hole too. They don't look up. But our shepherd is always with us. We just have to remind ourselves, right? And to remind each other, look up. All right, so what is our shepherd doing while he's with us? Scripture says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort us. The shepherd has two tools in his trade. One of them is the rod and the other is the staff. The rod looks like this. When a young shepherd boy reaches a certain age, making his rod and staff is like a rite of passage. So he digs up a young staff like this. I brought it with me. I made this a while back. It was actually a tree that used to sit in the ground. And you can tell the ground was like right here. Right? And so he digs it up, he cuts all the top branches off, he turns it upside down, cuts all of the roots off of it. Get back to this one, you can kind of see the difference between that one and this one, right? And that rod is then used for protection. Now, according to one of the books that we've been reading, the Philip Keller book, where he looks at a shepherd's take on this psalm, he says that after the shepherd boy completes it, he spends hours and hours practicing with his club learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It kind of becomes the main weapon that he uses to defend himself and the sheep. So I'm going to read just a tiny little story here from this book about that. So he says, once in Kenya, when he was photographing elephants, I was being accompanied by a young Maasai herder who carried a club in his hand. We came to the crest of a hill for which we could see the herd of elephants in the thick bush below us. So to drive them out into the open, we decided to dislodge a boulder and roll it down the slope. As we heaved and pushed against the great rock, a cobra coiled beneath it suddenly came into view and ready to strike. In a split second, the alert shepherd boy lashed out with his club, killing the snake on the spot. The weapon had never left his hand, even while we worked on the rock. Right? That is amazing. Our God protects us. Even when the enemy tries to strike out against us, tries to strike against his sheep, it's like God is there with the club saying, not my kid. Right? He protects us. Which sometimes I know we think to ourselves, well, why didn't God protect me from this? Or why didn't God protect me from that? And in those times, we have to rely on what we know is true about God. That if he is leading us to this situation, or through this situation rather, then this experience must be for our ultimate good. There must be some growth in this valley because I know that God protects his sheep. Of course, just as a side note, sometimes we know that sheep get themselves into a considerable amount of trouble on their own, right? In those times, the sheep are not following the shepherd because they forget to look up. In those times, sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of our own sin or bad choices. But even then, the shepherd is still working for us, right? Romans 8, 28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean those choices become magically good, right? Or they lack consequences. But it does mean that God can still use those lessons or those consequences for his ultimate good in our lives. Of course, the rod is also used for disciplining sheep. If a sheep wanders away on his own, like approaches like a poisonous plant to eat or gets too close to a cliff, the rod would kind of go whistling through the air, right? Trying to drive that sheep back to the herd or closer to the shepherd. It doesn't mean that he hit the sheep necessarily, right? Remember that they're very good, they're very accurate with their throw, and sheep are easily scared, so if he threw it in just the right place, he'd probably scare it back towards the sheep. But I'm sure there were some more stubborn sheep, just like there are some more stubborn people, and he might have needed to let them feel it before they were ready to return back to what's good for them. But even that is done in love, in order to protect them from a greater pain. Right? Oftentimes, we will experience a difficult situation that does, in fact, protect us from something far worse. Right? Maybe it's the pain of no longer being in a relationship with someone that really hurts. But if that relationship leads us into sin and away from God and his plan for our lives, then that pain is good and protects us because God uses that rod to protect us. The other tool the shepherd uses is the staff. We're kind of familiar with that one. It's got the big, large crook in it. That's used to symbolize the care that God has for us. Because the rod conveys authority and power and protection. But the staff conveys kindness and compassion and relationship. Because a shepherd will use his staff to pick up a newborn lamb and bring it back to his mother. He uses that because he wants to make sure his scent is not on it so the mother doesn't reject the lamb. It's a careful thing, right? The staff is used to help the sheep out of the crazy situations they find themselves in. He can guide them or grab them with the crook and pull them out. The staff is used to draw in timid sheep, maybe sheep that like to stand at a distance normally. That staff can draw them in for careful examination to check on their health or to check on an injury. And he can also use it to guide the sheep. And sometimes he just uses it to press against the back of them to make sure they're going in the right direction, kind of like parents would in a crowd, kind of pull their kids closer to them and make sure we're all going to end up in the same place at the same time. Just the right amount of pressure. God, our shepherd, does all of these things for us. Right? He lifts us up when we need it, and he brings us back to where we need to be. Yes. He draws us out of the crazy situations we get ourselves to in life. He brings us closer to him at times. Even when we're being standoffish sometimes and we need him, he can bring us in with that crook and he guides us into his ways. And what I found to be true over the years is sometimes God's staff is the Holy Spirit, right, guiding us with that still, small voice. And sometimes God uses other people in the body of Christ to be his staff, to help bring us back to where we should be, or to get us out of those crazy life situations we find ourselves in. But God, our shepherd, protects and comforts us, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not just there with us when the times are good. He's here with us at all times. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that begs the question of, do you ever find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death? And that valley looks different at different times in our lives. Sometimes it's just a little dark in our valleys. Sometimes it's pitch black in our valleys. I'm here to tell you that you don't need to be afraid because God is with you, right? That we can all say with confidence, like David did, because we know the score, right? We know God's truth, his plans for us. When we struggle with the difficulty of this life or struggle with the consequences of sin or even struggling with the consequences of other people's sins, the scary reality of illness or poverty or even our own death, no matter how dark it might seem, no matter how helpless we might feel, it's just a shadow, right? And God is with us to lead us through it. We have to remind ourselves to look up to the shepherd, sheep. He's here with us, rod in one hand, staff in another. He's going to comfort us and protect us through these difficult times. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ through Jesus our Lord. He is with us, and there is nothing that can separate us from him. When you cannot see your way through a situation or a circumstance, be a sheep, right? Trust the shepherd. If your valley is so dark that you can't even see him, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Where is he? Where is God in your valley? With you, right? Let's read this verse together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When life gets hard, right, when work stinks, when people are mean to you, whenever you sin, when life is not fair, when your marriage seems like it's falling apart, when your kids are struggling, when your finances are running out, when you get scared, when you feel lonely, when you have no idea what to do, where is God?
With me.
He's with you. Always. We just have to remind ourselves to look up. I don't know if you've noticed the language that's been scattered throughout the scripture today. Always with us. I will never leave you or abandon you. I will always be with you, always, even to the end of the age. There is never a time, there is never a situation that we will go through that God is not with us. I don't know whether you can look back in your life and kind of cling to situations where you saw that to be true, or whether you're going through it right now and you just can't see it, or this is a nugget you need to hang on to for a situation you're going to be going through in the future, but hang on to this fact that God is with you now, and he will always be with you, and he will never leave you. There is never a point in your life that you can't turn to him and trust that he's got your back. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Father, that there's nothing that can ever separate us from you, that you will never abandon us. And even when our valleys are so low that we can't see our way out or we can't even see you, we can trust that you are there. Help us to never forget it. Help us to trust it. Help us to know your plans are only for our good, and that if you're bringing us through this valley, it must be for our ultimate good, or that somehow you will make it so. We praise you, Father, for your word and the truth that it brings us. I just pray that that truth would soak into our lives and saturate us with the feeling of your presence. I pray, Father, that no one would walk away from here this morning feeling alone, because you are with us all. As Satan or this world, or even as we ourselves try to tell us that we're alone, help us to see through the lie and to claim to your truth that we are your sheep and we trust you as our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.